Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon. Before we get going today, some show notes. If you're looking for some wrestling, don't forget, here in our neck of the woods in Portland, Oregon, you can see Blue Collar Wrestling, SCPW in San Marcos, California, EWB in Washington, Georgia, WBW in Oregon, Ohio, and RPW in Clarksville, Tennessee today. So get out there, support your local independent pro wrestling, much like QT did, as did the American Guns last night for NGW Northwest. QT
Sun Guy, it was very good, almost standing room crowd there in Tacoma, and I delivered a fruit pie as promised, and then I won't say who I delivered that fruit pie to, but I fulfilled a long-standing promise. And then my second fruit pie kind of got hijacked. Yes.
You were hijacked?
My chocolate fruit pie was, yes.
I did see someone eating a chocolate fruit pie in the locker room last night.
Oh, very nice. Well, as you know, and I'm going to tell my all our Turnbuckle fans, my second fruit pie was going to be for Richard Sincere, who had a huge closing card match with Wild Lyle. And unfortunately, Richard Sincere didn't quite come out quite on top on that last match. However, I was waiting to give him the fruit pie, and Defola Dabashi took me aside and said, "Where's my fruit pie?" And I kind of got a sinking feeling in my stomach because I was ready to give my chocolate fruit pie to Richard Sincere. But I thought, could there have been a logistics problem that I'm overlooking? And did I owe Defola Dabashi a fruit pie? And so I just kind of gave my chocolate fruit pie to Defola Dabashi. And he goes, "Oh, well, this is an okay fruit pie. But, well, he did take it, yes."
Chocolate fruit pie is actually fruit pies because there's no fruit in chocolate.
That's true, yes. It's kind of a de facto fruit pie, a de facto. But it was all 7-Eleven had. It was all 7-Eleven had. Boy, I don't know why I go to that kind of 7-Eleven. Their coffee is only one step above the I-5 freeway coffee. And I rarely get coffee there anymore, but I do because mainly they have those espresso inserts that you can put in your coffee to give an extra zing. Mostly I go to that 7-Eleven for the chili dogs. Yes.
Well, that makes sense. Now, QT, is your favorite place to get the fruit pies, in fact, the Safeway?
I'd say at the military exchange, they have a better selection, plus snowballs.
All right.
Yes. So, well, anyway, we were supposed to have Dale Patrick's on, and I was stunned, Sungai, of his wrestling match against Jonathan Wolf at the WCWO Outlaw Arena. It had a Christmas tree. Yes.
It did have a Christmas tree. It was, in fact, held on Christmas Day.
Yes, wow, that was quite a crowd for Christmas Day, yes.
They did a very good amount of business that day, from what I understood.
I know that the video was published on December 29th, and I was also stunned to see a Wheel of Fortune on site. And that brought back memories of Pat Sajak and Vanna White. Yes.
I believe the will was to determine what stipulation each match held.
Oh, now why don't they have that at Blue Collar Wrestling?
Well, you're going to have to talk to your local Blue Collar Wrestling promoters and ask.
Boy, he'll look forward to that.
Probably will.
This is stunning. Why hasn't there ever been a Wheel of Fortune? Do you think I could get the wheels turning and maybe get a Wheel of Fortune at the Tea House in Marysville this upcoming, I think it's in February?
Their next one is actually the 19th, and it might be too late for that, but perhaps for February you could get something going.
Oh, that's right. 19th of February, yes.
19th
right.
of this month.
Oh, January, yes. I was stuck in February, probably because February has the famous Valentine's Day, and I was thinking about Pepe Le Pew and his chasing the cat on Valentine's Day. Okay. January 19th.
Yeah, because you, in fact, presumably will be chasing a pussycat.
Well, I don't. There has never been a wrestler to dress up like a pussycat, you know, with a black and white tail.
Nick Bradford.
Oh, he did, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Did he get hit with a... Oh. Alley cat?
Battle cat.
Oh, battle cat, yes. Oh, okay. I stand mistaken, yes. Oh, okay. Boy,
well, I guess there's a first
okay.
time for everything.
Well, yes, first time, yes, that I've mistaken wrestling trivia. Yes, very interesting. Okay. Well, Sungai, due to logistical problems last night, I couldn't quite get to the first match on time. I came in, however, to see you in the ring. Can you fill in our listeners who was in action? Well, I walked in and saw you almost on the three count, the final three count.
First match was for the NGW Northwest title. It was the Lumberjack, the defending champion, against TS8, who is a masked competitor making his debut.
It was a very nice mask, very high quality. That's what struck me when I first walked in. Yes.
Are you saying he headbutted you?
No headbutting. No. But I mean, I think he glanced out and kind of asked himself, who's this guy entering the building when we're almost through at the match and he's carrying a yellow sign? Yes. That's what
I figure. That's what he asked himself, huh?
Yes.
You think maybe that's why he lost the match? He was too distracted?
That could be, yes.
Well, then you're the reason he lost that match. He's probably very angry.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think once I couldn't really find a seat to sit, and I stood near the boxing ring, I was out of his peripheral vision after that, very fortunately. Yes.
I guess so. No, he wasn't out there very long. We can say that.
Oh, okay. Wow. How long do you think that first match lasted? Because I only walked. I probably walked in at the 5-minute mark. That's what I'm thinking. 5 minutes.
Probably 2.5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's fantastic. Oh, okay. Well, Sign Guy, I'm very inspired by this Jonathan Wolf versus Dale Patrick's video. I'm very inspired by this Wheel of Fortune. Yes, I think that could go over huge in the Northwest.
Well, you should talk to your local promoters and see if any of them are willing to do this.
But the question is, Sign Guy, you kind of equate the Wheel of Fortune with a holiday. Now, what holidays do we have coming up in the first 3 months of 2019 that could fit in? I know that there's a President's Day. Yes.
You just mentioned Valentine's Day earlier.
Well, that's true, yes.
There's St. Patrick's Day.
Well, win a free beer on the Wheel of Fortune. A green beer, yes, that could be. Yes. Oh, okay. Oh.
There is,
well,
sometimes Easter.
Easter, that would be in January, May, right? May 10th?
It varies. Easter falls on a different day of the year every year. Always on Sunday, but a different day.
Well, now due to my video analysis, I am freezing this video at the 105 mark. Actually, that might not be so good. Can I get a closer? It looks like this Wheel of Fortune has 1, 2. Well, there's a lot of white spaces here. Okay, white pie sections. So let me see now. There's a yellow section. 1, orange, 4, 5, deep green, 6, 7, light green, 8, blue, 9, 10. Looks like maybe 10 spaces. Yes. Where it could stop on 10 triangles. Yes. I'm wondering if Tofola Dabashi could kind of win something on a triangle. Or would he just throw the Wheel of Fortune away in a fit of rage? Well, could he? I mean, he might just rip the wheel off the wall and just roll it right outside the door. Yes.
Well, I don't see why not.
Okay. Yes. Now, did you see this Dale Patrick's when he was hit by a glass light tube in Combat Zone Wrestling?
I was not there personally, but I am aware of that, yes.
Now, you yourself, Sign Guy, have faced Dale Patrick's at the WCWO Outlaw Arena. Can you tell our fans when that was? Because I'm sure it wasn't Christmas, and I'm sure they didn't have a tree.
No, that would have been when I went out for Heroes and Legends, and the night before, the Venture Boys took on the team of Dale Patrick's and Nate Stone at WCWO.
Oh, very good. Now, what was the combined weight of the Venture Boys? Combined weight?
About 380.
380? Well, okay, that's not so bad. Not too bad. There's certainly not a lot of excess weight on that team, because 380, 150 and 150 is 300. Let me see now, 150 and 300, 380, 150, 160, 170. 170 and 170 would be 340. 180 and 180 would be 360. All right, right in both competitors around 180. Very interesting. How did the Venture Boys do? That's my question.
Very well. If we wouldn't have lost that match, I'm pretty sure we would have won it.
Was Darth Carter a member of the Venture Boys? Darth Carter?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Wow. Oh, all right. Very interesting. And when did you say that the month was when that match took place?
That would have been like May-ish.
Oh, May. Wow, January, February, March, April, May. That's about the time. Right in the middle of May is when spring changes into summer. Yes.
I believe that's June 21st.
Boy, that late, huh?
Yes, every year.
Wow. Boy, that's completely opposite and as far away from a Christmas tree as you can get. Yes.
Now, QT, have you ever gone Christmas tree shopping in the month of May?
I don't think so. However, if I were to do that, I would be looking for a blue spruce, probably, let's say, about 2 feet high, 2 feet, and a nice planter box, blue spruce.
That's not bad.
Yes. What is your favorite tree, Sun Guy?
Of all time?
Yes.
I like a good maple tree because you can tap it and get some maple for maple syrup.
Well, as you know, Sun Guy, in a subject that has been covered on this show, I talked about the Oaks and the Maple song from Rush.
That's true.
Where the maples wanted more sunlight and the oaks ignored their pleas. Yes.
That's true. Now, I do recall an episode of The Sign of the Times where you ate ice cream topped with maple syrup.
Can you tell our fans what the name of that Sign of the Time was and what number? I think it was the Maple Leaf Goodness.
Off the top of my head, I believe it was the Maple Leaf Goodness Edition.
Yes. Very nice. Yes. Okay. Maple Leaf Goodness. I remember that. I believe you were in a Toronto Maple Leaf hockey jersey.
That's very unlikely.
Very unlikely. Oh.
Very unlikely.
Have you ever worn a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey in any of your Sign of the Times?
No. But I do have that number. It's number 182.
Oh, the Maple Leaf Goodness, 182. Okay.
No, well, I believe I was wearing a Ricky Ruckus t-shirt that particular day. Or was it John Cena?
Ricky. John Cena, wow. I see.
One or the other.
Now, well, Sign Guy, is today Boxing Day in Canada? Boxing Day.
No, it's always the 26th of December.
Oh, I see. Isn't today some type of national holiday in Canada?
Not to which I'm aware.
Well, it is still an important day because it is the birthday of the Golden Songbird.
It is indeed.
Yes. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what the Golden Songbird may or may not have gotten for her birthday? Yes,
well, perhaps
very important.
A very nice spa towel and perhaps some slippers.
Ooh, some slippers. Very nice. Now, Sun Guy, if you accidentally step on a cat or a cat's tail, I think the effect would be less, how would you say, pronounced on the cat if you had cushy slippers. I found that out. Yes.
Now, do you plan on trying out this theory by getting slippers and then going up to pussycats and stepping on their tails?
Well, I'd like to have my overhead cut and have someone buy me the slippers. Yes.
Like perhaps maybe South Park Bellinger.
Yes, he could buy me some slippers, yes. Or maybe Dave the Beast Barnett.
maybe they could chip in together.
That'd be good. That'd be good. I think they owe me some slippers. Yes. In fact, I have Devin Bellinger live on Facebook. Should I ask him that question? This is huge.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just one second.
I am in the process of typing right now.
Wow, was that Greek? Well, while QT does this, I shall...
What's that?
...read from a book.
Oh, you're going to
read
from a book?
While you type your message, let's see.
Are you going to read from Lou?
No, I shall read from Body Slam's Memoirs of a Wrestling Pitchman.
Oh, this is huge. Okay.
I will flip to page 238. Okay. So Bischoff's ceiling price was $3,000. He always offered half of what he was willing to pay. That's how he worked. But it didn't matter. I wouldn't think of leaving my house for less than what Buffer was making. It was the principle of it all. And it was the principle that cost me $3,000. Sorry, Gear, that's not enough. Not enough? Why not? That's $500 more than we were paying you under contract. Because if you're calling me in to replace Buffer, you should pay me the same $6,000 that you would have paid him. $6,000? Are you crazy? Eric will never go along with that. Actually, Gear, I think Bischoff will be getting a good deal. Buffer announces his tagline, and then only what he is told, when he is told. With me, you're getting the best warm-up guy in the business. Someone who is familiar with all the crew and all of the talent. Someone the fans know and trust. And I guess someone you can depend on. More than you gave me credit for in St. Pete. So unless you're willing to pay me $6,000, then find someone else who can match what you know I can do. Predictably, Chester called back with a final offer of $3,000, which I turned down. It was the best outcome for Dave Penzer, who went on to Dayton to handle all the announcing chores single-handedly and did a great job. I was proud of him. A few weeks later, I received one last call, though unofficial, from the Turner organization. Doug Dillinger, head of WCW Security, spoke in the whisper tones you'd expect from an international spy calling in top-secret information to a foreign agent. It was funny because, although I recognized his voice instantly, the muffled sound of his message suggested someone trying to disguise his voice, but he wasn't trying to conceal his identity from me. He didn't want to be overheard by anyone in the WCW office. It had been a while since we spoke, and I was happy to hear from him. Hey, how's it going, buddy? Things are pretty good, but listen, I can't talk for long. How come you're sounding funny? Because I've got some inside info that you might be interested in, and I don't want anyone to know that I'm calling you. There are rumors that we're going to start up a new show in the fall. This is going to be a big deal. It'll be running head-to-head with the WWF on Monday nights. This would be a great opportunity for you to get back in. They're going to be paying big money to get this off the ground. Why don't you give Eric a call? Are you back with us, QT?
Yes, and I have a question. Have you yourself, Sangay, ever received a muffled voice with inside information from BCW?
I really haven't.
I think there's time that it's about time that you did receive a phone call with a muffled voice from BCW. Yes.
Who would it be from, you figure, Big V?
He could be in the running. I would say more about maybe Tommy Celsius. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying that because Tommy Celsius still has a landline.
He does.
A landline. Oh, okay. Yes. So I think you would get a muffled voice from Tommy Celsius. What that would be about, I don't know. Maybe the return to blue-collar wrestling from Chief Attacula-Kula. Yes, a return. That would be huge news.
Now, I believe Chief will be back in the area next week. Is that correct for NWWA?
Whoa, I didn't hear anything about this.
I believe that's his next date in the area.
Can you tell our listeners where NWWA will be having their match?
I believe they run in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Milwaukee. Okay.
Yes, that's in Oregon, not the one in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Dale Patrick will be on his way. He's just running behind today, but we'll have Dale in just a while.
Oh, okay. Now, Sign Guy, have you yourself ever received an offer of $6,000 from any organization? $6,000?
Possibly.
Okay, let's remove a zero. Have you ever received an offer of $600?
Possibly. I try not to reveal the financials of the situation just for the sake of professionalism.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to ask if you knock off another zero in 60. That's getting more down there. Maybe you have received an offer from another wrestler to make an appearance for $60 of bulk tea.
$60 worth of bulk tea? Maybe.
Yes. Okay, let's knock the final zero off $6 of bulk tea.
That's not a lot of tea.
No, it isn't. Have you ever received, let's say, eight assorted tea bags in an envelope that's about half of $6, $3 in an envelope?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just glad that Kevin Sullivan did receive his fruit pie last night. I think that's worth more than $6 worth of bulk tea. Yes.
That was an expensive fruit pie then.
I hear that. Now, Sanjay, can you read from page 280 of your book? Paragraphs.
Let's see if it has that. It does. Let's see. Okay, here we go. The fact that Body Slams is held in high regard among the finer wrestling-related books of the recent past must be due to divine intervention, since the success of the book has allowed my role in the wrestling world to be redefined. I am no longer known simply as the announcer who has lasted for 3 decades, so here I am. I have whined and ranted with words of warning and wisdom in city after city. The Body Slamming book tour stopped at bookstores and independent events across North America, as I caught the attention of all sorts of media interviewers in between. And now, as the idealist once again emerges from within, I am intent on putting my energies behind the theories I espouse in order to effect change. First of all, to entertain and inform the public, and secondly, to assist and encourage today's new breed. On the first front, 4 wrestling-based entertainment projects came about as a result of the success of the Body Slams. The first was my vision of bringing the book to life at a live event far away from the traditional wrestling venue, and that's how Body Slams, the Beyond the Stage Show, was born. There you go.
Wow. Oh, okay. Boy, 3 decades is a long time for anyone to be involved in the wrestling industry. 3 decades.
He's still going, too.
Well, now let's see. If you were to go back in time with someone now that had just completed the 3rd decade, that would be 1988.
That's true.
This was before internet, Sign Guy. 1988.
It was before.
Yeah.
It was also before DVD players.
Yes, you would still have VCRs. VCRs. Yes. This is even before Dale Patricks got his start in wrestling. Dale Patricks.
Much before,
or
yes.
Eric, or Eric Cannon or Darren Corbin.
That's all
yes.
true, yes.
Now, what was this about Eric Cannon wearing a black tank top in his match, Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin versus Dale Patricks and Trip Cassidy? Eric Cannon was wearing a black tank top that had the word Cannon on it above a logo that looked very familiar to the punk rock group The Ramones. You know the logo for The Ramones where they have the American Eagle where he has his wings spread, and in one of his talons he is holding a baseball bat.
I think so.
Well, I'm not sure, Sign Guy, if you're too familiar with that logo, but maybe for this upcoming Thanksgiving season, you will receive a Ramones t-shirt with the American Eagle and the baseball bat.
Okay. Now, the Razor Ramones based their t-shirt upon this as well.
Oh, okay. So you're so you're familiar with the logo. Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Oh, okay. When's the next time the Razor Ramones are going to be in concert? That was my next question.
I'm not sure, but they claim that this will be their last year as a band. But you know how that goes.
Oh, their last year? Haven't they put out an
That's
album yet?
That's what they say.
Oh, okay. Wow. Now, Sun Guy, is there any? I'm getting misty, I guess. I Am Not a Nugget would be very good entrance music, especially for Dale Patricks. I Am Not a Nugget.
I don't see it being his entrance song at all.
Well, now speaking of entrance music, and I don't think this wrestler has any, can you update our listeners on the condition of Jackson Price?
Yes, I can, actually. He was hit by a car. It was thought that he was doing better, came out with just scrapes and bruises, but he began to feel ill. A few days after that, he was rushed to the hospital. They discovered he actually had internal injuries they did not realize. He had several blood transfusions, but he's now on the mend and doing better.
Wow, certainly a turn for the worse. I hope he does get better. Well, he probably is by now, yes. That's certainly a step back that you don't want to take.
I don't think he was fond of it, yeah.
That's kind of like that autobiography or that commemorative of Roddy Piper that I read. He had to break some news about a person in an organization that he was working for. He was embezzling some money, and so Roddy Piper told him that he was through, and he had to be kicked out of the organization. And somehow Roddy Piper ended up getting a ride from this guy. And the guy looked over at Piper and said, "I can be crazy too." And somehow he wanted to get into a car wreck, but for some reason, I don't know if it was an actual wreck, but Roddy Piper was thrown from the car like at 45 miles an hour, and he got run over, and he broke a lot of his ribs. He had a lot of internal bleeding. Roddy Piper got up, walked himself home. Well, I don't know if he walked himself home, but somehow he got home and he laid in the bathtub with broken ribs. And I think his liver or spleen was lacerated. And the paramedics got to the house, and then one of the paramedics said, no, something about letting him fight. This guy's a fighter. But somehow, Roddy Piper, I know that he got medical treatment, but I think the laceration on his kidney or liver healed on its own. Yes.
I see.
I read that, I remember, on one of our episodes.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Slightly fragmented. Yes. I got to look that book up again. Yes.
Now, QT, do you think that Roddy Piper regretted that?
He probably would have in hindsight, he probably would have handled it another way. He should have. I don't know. I think he, at that time in his life, who knows what his financial condition was, but I don't think he had a wrestling liaison to do his dirty work. Now, speaking of someone who doesn't do dirty work, I was stunned to find out that Randy Zellers is now a member of Team Moonshine. He was a long-lost cousin.
I believe that was Skeeter Moonshine. You must have him confused with Randy Zellers.
Oh, Skeeter Moonshine, yes. An absolutely fantastic performance from Skeeter Moonshine last night. Yes. Even though I think he was slightly drunk.
Maybe he can't handle the moonshine well enough.
I hear that. And I took Skeeter Moonshine aside last night when he wasn't signing autographs. And, you know, I asked him how his travels with Pa Moonshine was from Oregon up to Washington going. His travels.
What was the reply?
Oh, he was doing pretty well, yes. Skeeter Moonshine pays in and chips in for the gas money very well. Yes.
Did you confirm that with Paul?
I can confirm that Paul was drunk. He was talking gibberish. Yes.
Really? What did he have to say?
Oh, he said something about some type of illicit love affair with Pepe Le Pew. He did say that. Yes.
I can confirm he introduced himself to someone last night as JB Moonshine, and I did have to correct him and let him know he was Paul.
Oh, okay. Oh my, that raises a red flag of concern right there. Yes, but I was stunned with the travel plans of Pa Moonshine in 2 weeks. He is going to be traveling from Oregon up to Marysville, and that's the second stop on a card. I'm not quite sure where his stop is on a Friday. I think it's a Friday where he has an event. And then Saturday, he travels to Marysville, and he is staying overnight in a hotel in Marysville. And then that Sunday, he's driving back down to Blue Collar Wrestling. Actually, I think he has two events on Friday. Two.
I would have to guess.
Yes.
Probably he's going to be in Spokane for Cascade.
Yes, that was it. Yes, Spokane. Cascade.
Like the
Cascade, yes.
Yes.
Do you yourself plan to go to Spokane, Sign Guy?
I have never performed in Spokane to this point.
Oh, okay. Boy, now that's a lot of
traveling.
Will
you be traveling to Spokane, and will you chip in one tank of gas to Paul?
Boy, well, I'm not quite sure what type of vehicle Pa Moonshine drives. Can you fill me in on that? He doesn't drive.
I don't know either, but I'm
going to get
a 73 Chevy S10.
Wow, 73? I don't think they even had S10s back then.
Oh, come on.
I would think Pa would be driving a Cadillac Eldorado, 73 Cadillac Eldorado. Yes.
Maybe.
And those things have huge gas tanks. I try to get out of that. Yes. But that's a lot of wear, and that's a lot of miles for Pa Moonshine to be traveling.
Well, if you're in the wrestling business, that comes with it.
That's true, yes. It's a badge of honor. And I was able last night to take Zeppo Moonshine. Wait a second, I got that name wrong. What's the name again of the newest cousin? It's not Zeppo.
Geeter.
Seeger. Seeger Moonshine aside. And I asked him if he had recently played Black Jeopardy. Yes.
He was probably for words.
Well, yes, he got a laugh out of that, Black Jeopardy, yes. Now, speaking of which, how do you think Black Jeopardy would go over at Blue Collar Wrestling, say at intermission?
Probably not so well.
Not so well, huh? Okay. So you think Wheel of Fortune would be much better if I talked to Tex Thompson? Go for a Wheel of Fortune much better?
You could ask.
Okay, I will ask. And I haven't heard back from Devin Bellinger yet. This is terrible. Here's what I asked him. Devin Bellinger, as per our live broadcast that is going on now, as Sign Guy reads from a book, will you buy me a pair of wrestling slippers? He hasn't gotten back to me.
Well, that's kind of a shame, really.
I think Devin Bellinger is in mourning with the Seahawks' loss last night in Dallas.
He might be.
Now, who will Dallas face in the next round? Isn't it it's not the Eagles. Who could they face?
Perhaps the Rams.
Oh, the Rams. Okay. Yes. I'm just amazed that the Colts are, I believe they are 10-1 over their last 11 games. 10-1. And they started out 1-5.
I see.
Has any team, Sign Guy, started out the season in the NFL 1-5 and advanced past the first round of the playoffs? I don't think it's ever been done.
I don't know.
The Indianapolis Colts. Now, that brings up the question, who will the Indianapolis Colts draft in this upcoming NFL draft? There's a lack of quarterbacks out there. Lack of quarterbacks.
I'm going to guess somebody from the Naval Academy.
Ooh, Naval Academy. Probably the most famous Naval Academy draft of all time was Roger Staubach. Yes.
Well, there you go.
And this brings up the question, Sign Guy. Do you remember when Raw and SmackDown had the draft?
Which time?
Oh, when it first appeared. First appeared.
Oh, the very first one, yeah.
That was huge. That was one of my favorite, one of my top three favorite times of all time on WWE. The draft. Fantastic concept.
Would number two on your list be when Booker T and Steve Austin had the fight in the grocery store?
Oh, I'm not sure about that. I think probably tied for number one was when Goldust met Booker T in the 7-Eleven, and Booker T turned around and saw Goldust, he passed a cardboard cutout of Ron Van Dam as he was getting his hot dog. That was classic.
Would number three be when King Kong Bundy broke the ribs of Hulk Hogan prior to WrestleMania 2?
No, I think it was when Winter, I think it wasn't Angelina Love thrown off her game plan by a lady wrestler named Winter, Angelina Love,
that was
when she was teaming with Velvet Sky.
That was on Impact.
Yes. Angelina Love lost her focus because Winter was trailing her. That was huge. Yes. I'm just saying, Sun Guy, that I have an autograph card of Angelina Love. It's huge. One of my favorite possessions.
Okay. Now, did you have her sign it at Who's On First?
Devin Bellinger hooked me up with this card. I believe I traded my Adam Dunn cards for an Angelina Love. I think I got the better of that trade. Yes.
Quite possibly. But can you confirm that old South Park Bellinger didn't just sign it himself?
Boy, he is online right now. Why doesn't he respond to my question? Okay, I asked him a question about the slippers. I'm going to quick get him another question. And this will be about your Angelina Love question, if he didn't sign it himself. And did I trade the Adam Dunn for this Angelina Love card? I will be back in 30 seconds as I type. Okay, here we go.
Okay, I guess I'll read more from the book. I'll flip to page 235. As soon as I declared Sting the winner, I shot down the aisle, picked up my gear in the dressing room, and was back at the hotel before the main event was over. I was scrubbing the show makeup from my face when my agent Chris phoned my room from the lobby. I invited him up. We ordered dinner from room service and discussed a couple of acting opportunities he was working on for me. When we finished, Chris asked me to come down the hotel lounge for a drink. This idea just didn't sound appealing. Not only am I barely a social drinker, but the false goodbyes from those who had already excommunicated me from the organization were more than I could stomach. Okay, are you back, QT?
I just sent the question. Devin, did I trade my Adam Dunn card for an Angelina Love autograph?
He's probably sweating right now, saying, "Oh no, he's on to me."
Yes, boy, I hope he answers. Yes. Oh, okay. Now, Sign Guy, are you yourself headed for blue collar when we hang up? Blue collar.
I am not off this week. I'll be back either next week or the week after.
Wow, that's huge. Okay. Any idea who is in action tonight at Blue Collar?
Mac Traeger versus Lance Dean is one of the matches, and I believe just exciting, the brand new Fight TV World Heavyweight Champion takes on Brian Armstrong.
I like that. Mac Traeger. Yes, we had a good interview with him. I think I asked him. Let me see. Are there any truth to the rumors that you recently threw a garbage can at the number one ranked Turnbuckle Turmoil weekly wrestler, Richard Sincere? That was one of my questions, yes.
Have they met before? I don't know if Matt Traeger has wrestled Richard Sincere.
Well, I think he threw a garbage can at him in passing, yes.
All right. Now, where would this have been? Would it have been in Oregon?
Well, that is to be determined. Yes.
Why is it to be determined if it already happened?
Well, I think it was on Adams Street. Adams Street, yes.
Oh, okay.
In Tacoma. Yes. Now, Sign Guy, for some reason, I asked Mac Traeger, would you classify yourself as an Oaken personality and physical girth that you have a conflict with? Oh, boy, that doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, okay, here we go. My question is, would you philosophically and genetically classify yourself as a maple? And if so, whom in the Pacific Northwest would you classify as an oak in personality and physical girth that you have a conflict with?
Wow.
Oak and maple.
And Matt Traeger still talks to us, too.
Yes, because then I asked him, would you classify Sarah Irene as a maple or blue spruce? I can't remember if I asked that question. But Sarah Irene certainly has the philosophical and genetic makeup of a blue spruce. I think there's no argument in that. Sarah Irene.
I see. Now, how did Sarah Irene take it when you described her as a tree?
I'm not sure. Should I ask her that question?
Yes, absolutely.
Or should I? Should... Hey, I have a sneaking suspicion you want me to get in some type of trouble. Yes.
Well, how could you be in trouble with Sarah Irene?
Well, that's true. She's able pretty much to go with the flow. She's like a layer of lukewarm water. Lukewarm.
Oh, she...
Pretty much tranquil. Yes. Tranquil.
Yeah, she was doing some questionable tactics to me at Blue Collar Wrestling at one point.
What? When was this? 2 weeks ago?
This was probably closer to 6 weeks ago. I was shocked by her behavior.
I see. Was this diabolic behavior, and was she set on injuring you in some way with a foreign object?
Well, if you consider her tongue a foreign object.
Her tongue? Oh, no. Now, as our listeners may know, I brought up two iconic logos in rock and roll history, the spread eagle of the Ramones clutching the baseball bat and the tongue of the Rolling Stones. I think the tongue is red, white, and blue. No, wait a second. Is it a black background and a red, white, and blue tongue? Well, I'm not sure. Anyway, what is it? What is this Rolling Stone-like logo incident with Sarah Irene that had you shook?
Well, the way she was shaking her tongue, yes. But I believe QT, our guest, has arrived, so let's bring him on. Dale Patricks, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Well, Dale, thank you very much for being on today. I've been looking forward to having you on. I have no idea whatsoever why it took us so long to get you on the show, but I'm happy to have you today.
I'm happy too. Thank you for having me.
Well, since it is your first time, we're going to start you out with the first timer's question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
What led me to it was whenever I was about 6 years old, as a kid, I was really into The Undertaker. And to my earliest memory, I was trying to dress up like him and raise up on the ground like Undertaker was. So that's what originally brought me to the world of professional wrestling. That's what made me love it, was The Undertaker.
A lot of people that watch you in certain types of matches might be surprised that you actually come from the School of Rock, which a lot of longtime listeners to our show know is one of the most credible and prolific professional wrestling schools out there. What made you join the School of Rock?
I was talking about it with a bunch of friends of where to go to get trained by, because Cassidy. So in high school, our teacher asked us what we did for the summer. And I lied to him. I told him I went to WrestleMania and I saw Batista. And then I proceeded to not do a Batista move, but I did an elbow drop onto the school's desk. And ever since then. I don't know. I've always been a big wrestling fan, and finally, after a few years, I was able to get up the courage to ask who do I go to get trained by, and Tripp told me to go to Billy because that's where he was training and got trained by, so.
A lot of your fans will know you not only as someone that does a lot of traditional professional wrestling, but in certain promotions and in certain places, you do a lot of death matches, at least for the next several months. But what was it about the death match style of wrestling that attracted you to want to get into that aspect of our business?
I remember, so whenever I was growing up, I saw Mick Foley and Randy Orton have one of their hardcore matches at, I think, Backlash or Unforgiven or something like that. And that immediately hooked me right then. And I know another point in time that hooked me was when Triple H and Cactus Jack did their street fight at Royal Rumble in 1999, I think. And that hooked me as well. And I've always been into that kind of stuff. So I was just trying to figure out who to go to or how to even get into that kind of stuff. And once I found that this place called EPW was doing a hardcore harvest and they were wanting people to join into the deathmatch tournaments, I told them I'd like to try it out. And ever since then, I've been a part of deathmatches. So.
One of the things that I tell wrestlers in locker rooms where I appear, if they're going to do a no DQ match or a hardcore match or anything like that, based upon watching a video of you and Josh Crane, I refuse to pull glass out of people. So on behalf of people in the Northwest, I want to thank you for inspiring me to warn people the dangers of glass in professional wrestling.
Oh, yeah, definitely, it's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of fans might know that you and I actually have competed against each other in the past there at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis. It was the Venture Guys versus yourself and Nate Stone. If I hadn't lost to you, I'm pretty sure I would have won. It didn't go down that way, but I believe we've let bygones be bygones. We've shared locker rooms since then, but can you tell the fans your interpretation of that classic match we had?
I know, man, I've been hitting the head so many times since then. All I remember from the match is that Nate Stone was involved, which is not a part of us anymore. And honestly, I couldn't tell you. Like I said, been hitting the head too many times to remember.
I've been hitting the head once or twice myself, so I don't blame you. But if my memory serves, I'm pretty sure it does. Dave Meltzer rated it 13 1/4 stars, and Brian Alvarez wept at its magnificence.
Oh, damn. That's pretty cool.
That's how I recall the match, yes. Now, you yourself, as we mentioned, have various styles that you implement. You can pretty much go with anybody in any style. But one of the styles of professional wrestling that is continuing to grow in popularity in the United States is the Lucha Libre style. How versed in Lucha are you, and are you seeing more of a Lucha influence on shows where you wrestle?
I know Billy Rock was, his ring style was Lucha-based, and he taught us a bunch of Lucha-based stuff. So I'm not saying I fucking know Lucha or, you know, I'm a Lucha God over here because I'm not. but I know a little bit of lucha to get by. I try to teach that to my kids too. I'm able to teach them just a little bit what I know, and yeah.
Now, you also have been around long enough that you would recognize that one of the most underrated aspects in wrestling is that of a very good wrestling referee. They can often make or break a show depending on their skill level and how good they are. You've been in a lot of different places, so you've seen a lot of variety, I know. Who would you say are some of the better referees out there that may not get the credit from the fans but are vital to the business?
I can think of one that comes to mind, and his name's Toby, and he's just an Indiana referee that is pretty good at what he does, and recently he just got involved in the deathmatch refereeing. So if I would recommend him to anyone, it would be Toby. So.
Well, I can confirm that if you break your leg in a match and Toby's the referee, you don't want to speak carny to him because he doesn't understand it.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty good at his job. He knows what he's doing. He knows when to, you know, call the match, or if anyone gets hurt, he knows what to do to either finish the match or get it over with so that everyone walks out safe as they possibly can, so.
Absolutely. He got me out of there when my ankle was turned backwards. So Toby, definitely one of the better ones. I completely agree with you there.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the other aspects of wrestling, which is sort of a dying art that you see the national companies trying to revive a little bit in the last year or so, is the wrestling managers. I know they're more prolific on the independent scene, and the quality is varied. Some of them are very, very good at what they do and bring a lot to the table. Some of them sort of hurt the match that they're involved with because they just don't know how to properly manage. I know you've seen a lot of managers out there as well. Who are some of the better ones out there that the fans and the promoters alike should be aware of?
Me and him may have problems, but Jason Saint's a pretty darn good manager. Honestly, to me, I think he's the only one that I think that has stuck out in my mind. I really haven't seen too many other managers on the scene lately, and you know. I just think, like you were saying, some of them take away from the match, so I try to give them critiques and just slip them on. But Jason Saint definitely is one of the top ones right now.
Also agreed. Well, we've come to the point in the show where we have a game that we like to play called Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that more than likely you have come across in your career. And the first word or two that pops into your head is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. First one, Trip Cassidy.
Smart.
Calvin Tankman.
Hoss.
DJ Hyde.
Lariat God.
Toby Lee.
Amazing.
Terry Awful.
Carney.
Cameron Starr.
Good.
Gail Patrick's.
Dick.
Don Basher?
Good promoter.
Kelly Klein.
Kelly Klein?
Yes.
Good wrestler.
The last one, JT Branham.
JT Branham. Oh, good all around dude. He's super nice.
Well, at this point, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Dale.
Hey, what's going on?
Yes, I believe it is Boxing Day in Canada. Happy Boxing Day.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Dale, there was an article recently about the Portland Trail Blazers and how their players are adapting to the massive amounts of miles that they have to travel during the season. Portland is in one corner of the nation, so they have to travel more than, say, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Chicago Bulls, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Houston Rockets that are centrally located. One player has a custom espresso maker, I believe it's their power forward, and one player provides the beans, which are Blue Mountain beans from Jamaica. Real high-quality stuff. The players usually drink this espresso 20 minutes before warm-ups. My question is, what is your beverage of choice before matches?
I would have to go with the classic, Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo?
Yes, sir.
Wow, okay, chocolate Yoo-hoo. Okay, how about after?
Sometimes after. I like to go with a Prairie Farms 10-ounce bottle of chocolate milk.
Wow, chocolate milk. Wow, all right. All right, fantastic. Get your calcium in and vitamin D, very important. Now, you yourself don't travel as far as, say, the Portland Trail Blazers, although they travel a lot better than your average citizen because they have a custom-made Portland Trail Blazers jet, so they have a lot more leg room and a lot more seating room. And so the Portland Trail Blazers do have a lot of miles. However, what's the furthest that you travel between matches?
I've traveled all the way from Florida to California before, so pretty far.
Holy smokes. Florida to California. Okay. How long did it take you to make this trip? How long?
Let's see. Total round trip, it was about 80-some hours. I'm going to say it's like 5 or 6 days from taking a car.
Wow. Was this from Orlando to Los Angeles?
Orlando to Long Beach, I think it was.
Orlando to Long Beach. I was very close.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So you had to travel from Orlando. You had to head north. And then you had to travel across the Florida Panhandle, and then you had to take the main highway through, I'd say, New Orleans and East Texas. That I think it's Highway 95, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right?
You are pretty good with your highways.
Hey.
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, okay. Damn. Do you remember passing through Las Cruces, New Mexico? Do you remember any of that?
No, I was mostly asleep around that point.
Oh, okay. Now, who would be your who did you have trade off driving with? This is a huge question.
It was in a car with three other people: Jake Oman, Adam Bueller, and Trip Cassidy.
Wow, all right. Hopefully Trip Cassidy did not have the Taco Bell diet, did he?
No, I didn't. I took up that one.
Oh. Oh, boy. That's okay. All right. Was it in a 1972 Cadillac Eldorado?
Nope. It was in a old piece of shit Honda Civic, 1994.
Oh, no. That's pretty cramped. That's terrible. Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
Yes,
that's holy smokes. What is the longest rest stop that you guys experienced? Did you ever have a rest stop where you napped for like an hour?
I think there was a rest stop that we napped at for about 4 hours, but I got pretty damn tired of staying at one place for one period of time, so I took over driving and got us to where we needed to be.
Wow, very good. Okay, all right. Well, Dale, I saw your YouTube video you were in called Hot Men Wrestling, Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin versus Dale Patricks and Trip Cassidy. And I was stunned that Eric Cannon was wearing a black tank top that had the word Cannon on it above a logo that looked very familiar to the logo for the punk rock group The Ramones. Now, the Ramones have one of the most familiar logos in rock history besides the Rolling Stones' tongue. The Ramones logo has the American Eagle holding a baseball bat. My question is, have you yourself ever used one of these three Ramones songs for your entrance music? Number one, Sheena is a punk rocker. Number two, Now I Want to Sniff Some Glue. Or Beat on the Brat?
I have to say neither, because I don't know any of the songs. So,
wow. Oh, okay.
You may have to ask Rick Wright on that one. She dated a...
So you're not familiar with I Want to Go Down to the Basement or Blitzkrieg Bop?
That sounds pretty darn sketchy, but no, I have not.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Dale, I also saw your YouTube video, CZW Tournament of Death 17 / Mance Warner versus Josh Crane versus Dale Patricks. And what was missing from the tag team action what stood out in the tag team action was the broken glass. How many stitches did you have from this match?
It wasn't a tag team match. It was a triple threat. But
right.
I know I had to go to the hospital right after the match because my leg was completely gashed open and I had meat and stuff hanging from it. So they had to rush me to the hospital. And I think they put I think it was 12 stitches on the inside me, and then they had to put 5 staples on the outside to cover the top layer.
Oh, wow. So did the glass hit any main veins? It couldn't have hit an artery because then if it hit a main artery, they would have had to apply a tourniquet. I'm thinking that it hit some pretty main capillaries then? Capillaries torn up?
No, it didn't. It didn't hit any major arteries. It just hit just the meat that was inside. I know it wasn't bleeding that much, but so no, it didn't hit any arteries or anything. Thank God. There was glass in there though from the match, but after the anesthesia, I really didn't feel anything.
Holy smoke. It's very good that you didn't sever any tendons.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, I also saw your YouTube video entitled Jonathan Wolfe versus Dale Patricks by referee Wayne Silver. And this was in the WCWO Outlaw Arena. And I was stunned to see a Christmas tree that did not even have one black light on it.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was stunned to see your match at WCWO Outlaw Arena this past Christmas that had a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Yes, and it didn't have any black lights on it. Plus, at this venue, they had the Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, yeah, they had the spin the wheel deal for the match.
Were you yourself a huge fan of Pat Sajak and Vanna White?
Was I a big fan of what? Sorry.
Of Pat Sajak and Vanna White.
not sure.
Oh, okay. Well, here's a question. As champion during that match, defending your belt, why did not WCWO let you spin the wheel?
I couldn't tell you. That was just how it worked out, I guess. They kind of do their own thing.
Oh, okay. Well, in that match, I was very surprised when Jonathan kicked you in the stomach to start the match, and he put you down. But then it wasn't until the 5 minute and 30 second mark that he kicked you again. This was a lapse of 42 seconds. Were you surprised by his lack of aggression early on in this match?
Me and him really don't like each other, so we kind of take out whatever frustrations we are on each other. So, no, I'm not surprised at his aggressiveness.
Wow, okay, all right. Can I ask what high school class you had with Trip Cassidy? Was it AP Calculus?
No, it was a history class.
Whoa, history class. Okay. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans who was a better student, you or Trip Cassidy?
Well, since I had bad grades, that would be Trip Cassidy because he was having people help him out with his grades. So,
whoa! Will you go on record and say that Trip Cassidy may have had special glasses to see other people's exam papers?
Oh, no, no, no. God damn it. I'm going on record in saying that I sucked as a high school student and had terrible grades. Trip Cassidy had good grades, but sometimes he would get help from friends to complete his homework.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay. So it was kind of like that going back to school for Trip Cassidy, kind of like Adam Sandler going back to school, where he had to repeat all the grades. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us what your high school mascot was? This is very important.
Yeah, it was a falcon.
A falcon? Oh, okay. And what were your school colors?
Navy blue and silver, I believe.
Wow, very good. Okay, all right. All right, well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy and take care of that leg that you got stitched up.
Will do.
Thank you, QT. Well, Dale, speaking of the leg, you announced not long ago on your social medias that you were going to be wrapping up doing the deathmatch aspect of professional wrestling. What led to you coming to that decision when you made it?
It was just a multitude of things. I've been having problems with health stuff lately, so I kind of wanted to slow down over that. And that, I kind of already done all the stuff in death matches I've wanted. And the stuff I'm doing this year. So I just found that it was the right time to stop doing it.
Oh, a lot of fans know you from different areas. And, of course, I'm familiar with you from WCWO. So we have shared the locker room there at the Outlaw Arena. But a lot of wrestlers have a particular favorite venue where they wrestle for whatever reason. There's countless reasons why a wrestler has a specific favorite venue. Do you have a favorite venue where you go regularly to wrestle, or one that you've only wrestled once or twice that you would consider your favorite all-time building?
I know back whenever I was doing CZW regularly, I know the hockey rink in New Jersey was my favorite, just with all the past history that was happening there. My close second is the Outlaw one, the Outlaw Arena, but that's about it.
We referenced, of course, some of our injuries that we've had here. We've both been beat up. Anyone that wrestles for any length of time is going to have the occasional injury. But could you run down some of the more serious ones that you've suffered for, so the fans can kind of get a feel for what it is that you've put yourself through over the last several years?
I took a guitar shot to the top of my head, and I split my head right wide open to a point to where I could pretty much put all my fingers underneath my scalp. That took, I think, 36 staples on my head. I had another one on my hand that only took a few stitches. Well, nothing big, though. And that's pretty much all the only ones that I've had that have been real terrible. Other than that, it's just other nicks and cuts and bubbles and whatnot. So.
And the gash in the leg. Now, in your area, probably more than in a lot of other places, there's a lot of young talent that looks like they're going to be very, very good and really be the future of the business in the next 3 to 5 years. I know you've seen a lot of them up close if you haven't been in the ring with them personally. Who are some of the younger guys coming up that only have a couple of years experience that you think are going to be really, really good before too much longer?
I know of a few right now. Some of them haven't been in for a couple of years. They've been in for about 3 or 4. They just don't get the recognition they deserve. Sean Kemp and Jonathan Wolf, and there's this new kid called Brayden Lee. Calvin Tankman, Mance Warner, all of them are amazing talent, and I hope nothing but the best for those individuals and their careers. They're definitely the up-and-comers, and they're definitely going to set the world on fire pretty much.
I've shared locker rooms with some of those guys, Sean and Jonathan, I've personally wrestled against, so I completely agree with you there. They're unbelievably talented at an age where most kids don't come close to matching that.
Oh, yeah. It just comes from their background and where they came from. They have good parents that taught them the ins and outs of wrestling, you know, before they're even probably able to walk. So they're doing pretty good for themselves now. And like I said, I hope nothing but the best for them, and I wish them all. Wish them all the best in their careers, and hope they do a whole lot more than what they are.
Absolutely. I believe Jonathan was 13 and Sean was 14 when they first came in, and they were already very professional as far as locker room etiquette and how to handle themselves, and they've definitely only improved in ring since then.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know that in a lot of places that you go, you are looked at as someone that is sort of a locker room leader. A lot of the younger talent look up to you and go to you for advice and want to work with you so they can get better. What is it like when you hit that point of your career and people that are your peers are now coming to you as a leader?
It's weird at first. I wasn't, and still now I don't consider myself a locker room leader or someone to go to. I just don't see myself there yet. I don't know, it's just me. Everyone else does, but I don't see it yet. But it's weird and it's awesome at the same time because I'm able to help, you know, these young kids out or even some people who's been in longer than me who still want, you know, advice. It's pretty awesome how this business works.
That might be the truest thing you've said yet. But, yeah, definitely. Last time I was at Outlaw Arena a couple of months ago, definitely I could see you being one of the locker room leaders. I observed that right away. Obviously, when you started out, you weren't automatically someone that was the locker room leader. You had locker room leaders that you went to for advice and for help. Outside of Billy Rock, your trainer, who were some of the people that early in your career you would go to for advice and that you would want to wrestle so you could improve?
Some people I went to was Billy himself. Others I went to Jake Oman and someone else. Jake Oman and Jonathan Kidd Owens, and then I went to Drake and Scotty for a bunch of stuff just to help me out and, you know, find my way.
Not a bad group of people to go to. Now, we mentioned Don Basher earlier, and there's also a lot of veterans in Indiana. You got people like Bobo Brazil Jr., Diceman Ronnie Vegas, Dick the Bruiser Jr. still out there applying to trade, working shows. What's it like having such a diverse locker room when you have guys that have been in for 35, 40 years and with guys like yourself that maybe have 8 to 10 and then guys that are starting out a couple of years all in the same locker room?
Unfortunately, I never got to share some of the locker rooms with Dice or Bobo or any of them. But it's pretty awesome, the people that are in the locker room now. I'm not going to say too much, but some people I'm in the locker room now, it's pretty cool. You can go to for advice. And like you were saying, sometimes they come to me and ask for advice. But it's just awesome how the wrestling world works. It's awesome how this business is. So,
well, Dale, we're coming down on the time to end the program today, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you'd like to say, the listeners, plug and promote whatever you want, merchandise, social medias, upcoming shows, your favorite bakery, whatever it is, floor is all yours.
Go follow me on Del Patrick's on all my social media. I always have Del Patrick's merch at all the shows. I even ship out and have PayPal, so if you want to do it that way, it's easily accessible. I have a pro wrestling tee store you can go to and support your favorite jackass. That's pretty much it. Thank you for having me today.
All right, Dale, always a pleasure to come across you in a locker room. Thanks very much for being with us today. I appreciate it greatly. Fans, if you get a chance to go see Dale Patrick's in action, buy yourself a ticket. You won't be disappointed. He can do pretty much any style you would want to see out there. Does it all very well, so support him and what he does. We will be back with you next week. We'll be back with you next Friday afternoon, and then a week from today, we have Jamie Senegal on the show. Should be a very interesting time with Jamie. So make plans to be with us. Go out there, support your local independents wherever they might be, and we'll talk to you next week.